the bird here, and we're just going to follow through on part 10 of the perverted gospel of Christ, that if it's taught today out of the gospels, as compared to Paul's gospel of Christ, which is taught by himself personally. And we're looking at doctrine tonight. We're looking at Jesus' doctrine, we're looking at the apostles' doctrine, and we're looking to Paul's doctrine. And when you do a word study and you list them all out, you can see that there are the divisions that are there. So let's get into that tonight. Matthew chapter 7, with just a couple quick references here. Matthew chapter 7, where it says in verse 28, Matthew 7, 28, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings," we know what sayings those are in the previous chapters, "the people were astonished at his doctrine." Okay, so it's a common thought, and it makes sense, really. I see why people say what they say. Well, there's Jesus' sayings, the Beatitudes before this, and his teachings, and they were astonished at his doctrine, at what it is that he taught. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, the same kind of a verse, it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority." So when you present Jesus' teachings, you present it with authority. And that's what astonished them. Don't you see sometimes that when you talk to people about Paul's teachings or just anything in that Bible, that they're astonished at you that you speak with such authority? How can you say that that's for sure? How do you know that? Why do you know that? Why do you say you know that? Because nobody else has taught anything that they should know. It's an unknown God to people, as Paul puts it. It's an unknown God. They don't know anything about this God. And when you try to show them something specifically and with authority, even in Titus it talks about to speak and teach those things with authority. That's the sound doctrine. That's the walk. The actual walk of a Christian still could be and should be taught with authority. "Let no man despise thee," he says. So back in Jesus' teachings here in the Gospels, he spoke to these people because he had authority. Well, of course he had authority. He was the authority, as was his Father, and he passed it on. Now, we have a King James Bible now, 1 Corinthians 13:10, and what comes with this Bible is authority. And we call it ourselves the final authority. Not that we live that way or do we allow that, but that's what we call it. We turn to that book for the final authority. You know, that's a nice thing, to be able to read your Bible, whether you agree with it, whether you like it, whether you can do it, whether you can understand, whatever. You know you're turning to God directly to hear what it is he has to say. And we're not shocked like so many people are when we read what we read. We're not shocked that he would be the kind of loving Father that he is with the doctrine of imputation. That's what he does. And how he would guide us and he would care for us, just like it says in Timothy, like a father would care. We have such bad examples today of fathers that we can't even understand how God can be a father. So many kids have such horrible situations they live under. So we're just looking at the first part of this column here. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 12. We're looking at doctrine. Matthew 16, verse 12. "Then understood they how he bade them not beware." Start over again. Matthew 16:12. "Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." So here's a warning. When he talks about leaven, he's not talking about the leaven of bread. Although many of us need to watch out for the leaven of bread that causes us to grow physically here. We're seeing here, but he says, "but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees," and this is the religious people. So we are actually trying to get people to understand that we need to beware of the doctrine of the religious people today. The doctrine of these modern pastors and modern preachers and preacherettes and pastorettes and missionaries, where the Great Commission came from, and that is a doctrine that we need to beware of. The leaven of that modern religious doctrine is going to chew us up and destroy us. Now, in Jesus' time, that's what he's talking about here. So he's already telling the people to watch out for the religious doctrine. We look at Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Mark 1:27. it says here, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. So they grabbed a verse like this, you know, with authority they speak, and the unclean spirits obey you, and we know better than that. He says in Mark chapter 4, verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables. And I like how this is put. Now think of what he means by this. And then it says, and said unto them in his doctrine. So as Christ spoke to these people, these Jews, by parables, he's actually talking to them in his doctrine. What Jesus said to those people in those days was his doctrine. Now he goes on and he says in Mark chapter 7, verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching four doctrines the commandments of men. Now see, we can go back to the Gospels and we can see how these phrases or these verses are applicable to us today, because we can say that we see the same thing. The commandments of men in the churches and the pastors are what they're replacing the doctrines with, and that's biblical psychology, as they call it. But we're just looking here, this is what he said to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. And we'll see with Paul what he actually says the same thing. So, you know, Jesus' doctrine has always had the same issues here. We go to Luke chapter 4, verse 32, and it says, again, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Again, in Matthew 22, 33, they said, and the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So they're always astonished at what Jesus taught. So this one in 4:32 in Luke says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So when Jesus spoke, his word had power. It was with power. Okay, so a modern Christian with a perverted gospel of Christ would say, his word is with power, and yet they deny his word. So this must be one of the problems people have with the King James Bible, that this Bible, which is his word is their risen Savior, in Paul's teachings, is with power. Now in John chapter 7, verse 16, we see something here. We see that Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Well, that would be God the Father. Well, see, we know the same thing regarding this Bible. This Bible is not man's doctrine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:13 talks about that. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12 with Paul talks about that. That this doctrine, this isn't just Jesus' doctrine. This isn't just Paul's doctrine. This is what it is that God has sent. And we have it within the King James Bible. So anyway, there's Jesus' doctrine. They were astonished at it. And it was what he taught. It was what he said. Those are his. That's his doctrine. And in that day, it was considered, what new doctrine is this? Because they didn't have this kind of stuff from the Old Testament ways with what he was preaching. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and we'll look at the apostles' doctrine. Now, Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, the apostles' doctrine is going to be what? The apostles' doctrine is going to be the last chapter of Mark, last chapter of Matthew, but Mark is the best one to look to, because this is what they were told to go do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 3-4, that's to go ye out to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's going to be followed by signs of verse 17, take up serpents, that sort of a thing. 19 and 20 says they're going to be confirmed with everything that they're preaching and teaching with signs. And this is what they're supposed to go out and do. And so they do. And so this apostles' doctrine, which you read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you will see miracles, etc., was what they teach. So that there's a division. We look at Acts chapter 5, verse 28, saying, did we not straightly command you, talking to the apostles here, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So this is what the apostles were teaching something. This was, they looked at it as their teaching, their doctrine. It says, well, we have filled Jerusalem with ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Well, your doctrine was Jesus' doctrine passed on to the apostles. But note, in, if I got the verse here, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, and this is a key verse for a lot of people here, Matthew chapter 10, 5, these twelve Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. So these apostles were taking Jesus' teachings to the Jews. Acts chapter 13, verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So all this talk about doctrine is still all of the Lord, whether it be from Paul, whether it be from the apostles, or whether it be from Jesus himself. So that shouldn't be all that tough, really. I mean, the apostles were talking about a risen Jesus. But in Acts chapter 17, this is where Paul is talking, Acts chapter 17. And this is his whole thing to the unknown, to the men on Mars Hill, and about this, to their unknown God, who they worship. And he said in verse 19, Acts chapter 17, verse 19, coming up to that whole source, that whole sermon there, and they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. So then as he talks about it, he attacks them for their unknown God. Romans 6:17. So this new doctrine that Paul's got here, these Jews don't understand what's going on here. How could you preach and teach what you're preaching and teaching? God, may we know what this new doctrine is. And then we get into Romans now. And you can read the whole context of that story, of that verse right there, if you like. You know, please do. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. One of the things all the churches are trying to do today is they're trying to gather up everybody in one big group, and they've got to get rid of doctrine. Doctrine is what separates everybody in the different churches. Well, Jesus' doctrine, taught from the Gospels today, does not match up what Paul preaches and teaches, and so there's why Paul says what he says. Now, this one talks about the fact that if we are saved, because it says we were the servants of sin, now we choose to follow sin, and the addiction there is powerful for all of us, something that we were addicted to, and I wouldn't go to say Hebrews, I would not say in Hebrews, as everybody goes to, I think it's Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So yes, there's a sin that there's things that we all have that are unique to you. And if it's considered sin, then Christ has taken care of that. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we still choose to do those things, and that's our addiction, that we get caught up in these things, which is one of the things of the strings of the attached of our liberty in Christ. Is that does it have a power over us? Yes, it does. We have things going on in our life that we have a power over us, and we just can't get ourselves to quit. Christ has taken care of that. But as far as our flesh goes, we choose to follow it, and it gets burned up in the judgment seat. Not as sin, but as a bad work. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about, is to take the things that we've done and burn them and test them for good or bad. Anyway, that's just the subject here. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Here we go. Now this is one of the toughies. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now this is probably one of the verses where I probably went overboard on it in my first original preaching, because I remember not realizing we're getting sound, right? Need to get a yes or an amen or something on there to make sure you're there. Make sure the sound is going through. Yep, you're good. And the important part of this verse is where it says, which cause divisions and offenses. And there's so many people who don't understand the Paul's teachings, the doctrine. It says that the doctrine which ye have learned. That's from Paul. But are these people causing division and offenses contrary to what Paul teaches? There's a lot of just good conservative Christian folks They're not causing divisions, not causing troubles, not causing problems. You're not causing trouble. You might be talking about some things, but there's no issues coming up. And that's when, according to this verse, the way it says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So yes, there are people out there that we are to mark and avoid. But I'm afraid too often we mark and avoid, though they're not causing division or offenses. Do you see what I'm saying? We sometimes mark and avoid too soon. Yet you got to realize, can you handle who you are around? Maybe they will distract. Maybe they will carry you into their belief. How strong are you to be around this crowd? All sorts of other little things. But we just got to remember that. In fact, let's go to, just for a sidelight thought here, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look at that just for a minute. It's the same thing here. 1 Thessalonians 3, I think it is. It might be 2nd. That can't be 2nd. Ah, but it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wrong again. Where he talks about those that don't follow Paul's teachings, that we're to have no company with. He says, note that man and have no company with him. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And see, when we pull away from some of our friends or family that don't agree with what we're doing, we're thinking that we're going to shame them, and yet it's just like that verse in Romans 16, where these need to be people who are causing division and offenses. They're troublemakers as such. We go up to verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians, and it says, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Okay, let's watch that carefully. Look at verse 11. Walk disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. So there's a little bit of a prerequisite to these things before we avoid people and we get away from people in order to shame them. We have to realize that they are actually walking disorderly. Not just walking differently and don't understand the stuff. Disorderly. Well, we know a lot of people are. A lot of people that will say things and cause a big ruckus. Okay, those are the ones we stay away from. It's just that simple. And I think that's an important thing for us to realize as mature Christians, that we tend to sometimes get pretty mouthy and pretty withdrawy. We mark people and we avoid them. And maybe it wasn't time to do that yet. Did they cause any trouble? Did they go after your kids? Did they try to teach your kids some bad things? If they did, then yes, you stay away from them. They're causing division. And so then we become accused of causing division, which many times we are, because we just say something in conversation like we do. But we're not trying to cause division. We're just trying to teach something. They'll accuse you of causing division. And like Brian, I know the one lady you talked about there many, a long time ago, that lady was causing division. That lady and that man, I remember their names, which is fine anyway. And they'd come into your life and they would cause division between you and Adriana. That lady needs to be marked and you stay away from her. And she stays away from your Adriana. So we have to draw that line. I'm afraid sometimes in our zealousness and our desire to shame somebody so much that they would get onto it, that we cause more problems than we could ever imagine. Because we're too quick to mark and too quick to avoid. But then again, you got to decide, it's a situation. What is it? Who is it? What's going on? What are they doing that causes such... Oh, we get going, don't we? Sometimes really cause a lot of trouble, burn some bridges that never can be rebuilt. That's sad and that's hard. Let's keep going here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:26. We're looking at doctrine. We're looking at the doctrine that Jesus taught in the Gospels. We're looking at the Jesus' teachings that were carried on to the apostles, what's called the apostles' doctrine, which everybody's teaching in churches today. Really, they are. Acts chapter 2. Now we're looking at Paul's doctrine, and it's considered a new doctrine. Looking at 1 Corinthians 14:26, and here's where I think denominations got their start, really. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. But all things be done unto edifying. It's too bad they didn't, but what do we have today? Everybody's got their doctrine. They've got their verses. They've got their Bibles. They've got their music. They've got all sorts of different things. And they're trying to come together. So So they get rid of the doctrine. They get rid of the Psalms. They get rid of the book. They get rid of their old-fashioned, dull music, and they bring in what the world wants, and that's not the way it should be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Here's another warning about doctrine. That's the wind of doctrine. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We should know the doctrine that Paul teaches. Very simple. 2 Timothy talks about the scriptures. What are they there for? For doctrine. Where do you go for your doctrine? Your King James Bible. Oh, okay, good. Do you go to the Gospels? Well, you go there for the doctrine that Jesus taught to the Jews. We learn that. We go read Moses' doctrine to the Jews in the church in the wilderness. You go to Peter's doctrine taught to the Jews in the Great Commission. You go to Paul's doctrine. You go to the doctrine of James and Jude and John again in the tribulation days. You've got to know when to apply the right doctrine to the tribulation. We're not picking and choosing verses. All of what Paul teaches in Corinthians in this Bible is taught to us. But if we do all those things that he did in his early ministry in the early part of the Corinthians times, and when the Jews were there, we would be teaching Jewish doctrine to people. Healing doctrine as such, those things that he would do. And then besides that, in Ephesians 4:14, we're supposed to grow up and be solid with our doctrine. And it says, by the sleight of men. We ought to be able to know when somebody's trying to slight us, they're trying to trick us with their doctrine. And you know, like I said the other day with that book I read, there was the sleight of men going on in that book, teaching people that, you know, more and more people in America believe in God and they believe in miracles, but we're more and more getting away from good morals. Well, you can understand that. And yes, the world is going towards believing in a God, the devil himself, not that he is a God, but that's how he wants to be. And they're falling for this miracle stuff. And yes, in the meantime, because they're not rightly dividing, they're increasing into ungodliness. And their belief is changing. So you recognize that. You're growing up as a Christian. You're not going to be tossed to and fro like you used to be. You're not going to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, bring in some kids to your teachings and they'll get it. Take those same kids to somebody else's teachings, and they'll follow that. Take your kids to somebody else's teaching, grandma's or something, they'll follow that. Teach your kids in fifth grade one thing, and teach your kids something different in sixth grade. They're tossed about all the time. But we're not. We can see this stuff happening more and more. And then it says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Cunning. I mean, these people are out to get that Bible out of your hands. They're out there to get Paul away from your teachings. They're out there to confuse you and challenge you. And it says, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's not the way it should be. That doctrine that we get from Paul, which is the doctrine of the risen Savior that he taught to Paul, then we can stand strong against the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, these people that are trying to deceive us and get us away from that thing. That doesn't mean that people don't agree with you, are trying to trick you and deceive you. They don't understand. Again, it goes back to those people that are making the issue. They're making the disturbances. They're causing the division. Not to people that just don't understand it and don't get it. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We are to be teaching Paul's doctrine. And it talks about in Corinthians that we are to be teaching the ways of Paul in every church. No other doctrine but what Paul teaches. Well, we know that Paul said there, we said it the other night in Acts, I got it right here someplace, I got it here somewhere, where he says he still believed the Old Testament. Well, of course he did. And he taught that, and it prophesied Jesus coming. So he preached that. But he didn't try to put the law on people as he preached that. So we're just still to preach no other doctrine other than what Paul preaches as far as what we teach to apply to our lives. Yet we still go from Genesis to Revelation. I think we all understand that. 1 Timothy 1, same chapter, verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Contrary to sound doctrine. Now, these people that are contrary to sound doctrine, they might get the right doctrine if they hang around you, but if they cause divisions and causing trouble and they're trying to deceive you, then those are the ones that we mark. And we ourselves need to be aware of anything in our lives that is contrary to sound doctrine. And we should do our best to make those... Well, our flesh could care less about sound doctrine. So we struggle with that inner flesh. We struggle with ourselves. We struggle with our addictions. We struggle with our flesh, our pleasures. And as a result, we find ourselves doing things that are contrary to sound doctrine. When I hear the word sound doctrine, do you think of any particular... I always think of Titus chapter 2. But verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, colon... Is that a semicolon? My pages are somewhere now. Then it goes and describes aged men, aged women, young men. There's sound doctrine right there. And anything that goes contrary to that, we're to mark and avoid. Isn't that just plain and simple? And Paul's doctrine is not that terribly difficult. It gets difficult when you're around the wrong crowd or your job or such, you know. But it's between you and God is what this is all about. And we know that we're not going to attain. We know that we're not going to walk everything perfectly. We're not going to stop sinning as such. Romans chapter 6 said Christ stopped sin. He took care of sin. So our works, now we come to judgment. Okay, let's keep going here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Here's another verse I know you know. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, not last days, but in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So I think it would be safe to say that if it's not the doctrine of Paul, and if it's taught as doctrine to us today, it's the doctrine of devils. And seducing spirits. How are you seduced? As one of the things is music. Music seduces us, and we find ourselves singing doctrine that's not true. And that doctrine would be called, according to here, doctrines of devils. And what does it happen? What does it do to people? It causes them to depart from the faith. Do you know anybody that's quit and given up? Sure we do. Maybe some of us someday. It's because if we do, it's because we gave heed to a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devils that we liked or pleased our flesh. Look at verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, then thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Well, who was it that would be preaching the words of faith and preaching good doctrine? That would be Paul. He says in chapter 4, look at verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Who's he talking about coming? We see till I come, we think right away, well, that's till Jesus comes. I probably even preached it that way at the beginning. I didn't think of this is Jesus talking to Paul. But right now, the whole specific context, the whole sentence is Paul's talking to these people. Till I come is Paul. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Whose doctrine? Paul's doctrine. Of course it would be Paul. Look at verse 16. Boy, 1 Timothy 4 is quite a chapter. Look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. What is that? Paul's doctrine. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You'll have the right testimony. I wonder how many times people that don't want to hear what we're saying or doing or being is because we still tend to not be the kind of Christian Paul would have us to be. We might be doing the right thing with a hard attitude. Nobody's interested in that. I might have preached a message to some people that they thought was to them and it was to somebody else, and then they took it really hard, and they step away. But it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Chapter 5, verse 17 of 1 Timothy, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So I want to make sure that when I teach and preach, if we continue this thing, that sure, I want to be doing word studies, and I want to be able to preach and show these words and what they say, but we have to remember that there's doctrine in there. Doctrine, imputation. Doctrine, sanctification. Doctrine, salvation. Doctrine is still important. It's not Baptist doctrine. It's not free will Baptist doctrine. It's not the primitive Baptist doctrine. It's not the Methodist doctrine. I mean, it's the Bible. Labor in the Word and doctrine out of this Bible, the Word of God. Labor in the Word. Where's the Word? It's King James Bible. You labor in that. And the doctrine. Sure, that doctrine will cause you to still stay away from denominations. It'll cause you not to worship in other people's churches, because we shouldn't. There's no worship anyway, according to Paul, like that. So, yeah, we should continue in them. And they shouldn't be mad about it. They should be able to see what they see. And we labor in that word and doctrine. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Now, this is a little tougher one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. This is in verse 3, 4, and 5. Teaching otherwise and wholesome words in Jesus Christ. That's fine, you know. But it starts off here very, very, very toughly. Toughly is the word for you. Very toughly here. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke, you're working, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, this is a hard one for the men, I suppose for the women too, but men are the ones that should be working the serious work here. And we're to count our master worthy of all honor. That's tough. But don't forget, verse 2, it talks, and then it goes to verse 2, believing masters. So, verse 1, I'm sorry to say that our master, our boss as such, as a servant, we're under their guidance as such, that we're to honor that master worthy of all honor. Isn't that horrible? That's a horrible thought. That's hard. But you know what's hard? Is to honor your husband and revere your husband, and he's not worth that. Not doing his thing. Here we have a boss. It's an unsaved boss. And he says to count that master worthy of all honor. Now, are we talking being a slave? No, it says servant. We're under the yoke. Our boss. And if we don't, the name of God and his doctrine is blasphemed. Now that's so hard. That's tough. Well, so a lot of our wives, it's tough for them to honor their husband because of all the things that we've been over the years. Isn't it good that God, that Paul's, isn't it good that our strength is God's grace? And God says, well, I'm glad you learned that. Wish you could learn that 20 years ago. Well, so do I. But can I learn it today? And let's get on with life. It's not always that easy, though. It's a tough one. Okay. 1 Timothy 4, 6. We've done that one. I think I skipped some of it. But anyway. 1 Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 6. There it is. 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and again, that's the first couple verses there. So if you don't want to believe verse 1, go down and read verse 4 and verse 5, because that's what God says you are. If any man teach otherwise what? Verses 1 and 2. Having a saved boss or a lost boss. The sad thing that I've noticed, I've recognized men who say they're Christians be the boss, and they're really horrible bosses. I mean, they're bossy. They have no grace. They have... You know, and I just looked at them and thought, oh, such a horrible testimony of a Christian talking like you do, letting your crew listen to the music they do because they say they're Christians, and you get along with, oh, I could go, I can picture people here that are bosses that were terrible as a Christian. But anyway, if you don't teach those things, verse 1 and 2, if any man teach otherwise, and there's an addition to this in verse 3, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness. That's Paul's doctrine right there. And then verse 4 and 5 is where he slaps us around. Or, you're proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. How many of us struggle with the fact that gain doesn't mean godliness? You know, people will say, well, how many people do you have on your website? Well, how many people email? How many people listen to your sermons? Well, if I could say, well, I've got a family there, 450,000. I've got all this money coming in to help the website go, and then it must be good. It must be godly. It must be the right stuff. No, not at all. Gain is not godliness. Is the lack of gain showing that? No, not necessarily either. There, you could just be just flat preaching wrong. But anyway. Let's get back to this thing here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. That's Paul. My doctrine. What is Paul's doctrine? How do we compare Paul's doctrine with Jesus' doctrine and the apostles' doctrine? Can you show people? Can you tell people about that? That's what we need to be able to do. That's rightly dividing. 2 Timothy 3:16, obviously all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's where the doctrine comes from. And which part of the Bible is that doctrine to us? Jesus' doctrine in the Gospels was doctrine to the Jews. The Apostles' doctrine was being taught to the Jews and if anybody else was out there to hear. Paul's doctrine is to the Gentiles. And the Jews could have had it too, but they just rejected it and God puts them on the shelf for now. There's a little remnant they can pick up to this stuff. But pretty soon they'll be living by Jesus' doctrine again in the tribulation, tribulational doctrine. Hebrews to Jude is exactly what that is. That's tribulation doctrine. That's the difference. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Boy, are we out of season today or what? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Not just reprove and rebuke and hammer and hit hard and let them go. That's the stage we go through as preachers or people that learn your Bible. You want to get out and reprove them and rebuke them, and before you know it, you lost all your friends, all your family, all everybody, because you didn't do it with long suffering. And you didn't do it with doctrine. You have to show them, well, this is what the Bible says, this is what it teaches, with long suffering. I'm not famous for that. I think the damage I have caused over the years is quite unrepairable. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, boy. It doesn't say believe, it says endure. They can't put up with sound doctrine. The standards will change. The morals will change. The modesty will change. The mouth will change. The job situation will change. You'll go places as you weren't going before. You can't endure sound doctrine. We can't do it. It's too hot. It's too many people. I look silly. I sound silly. I'm not giving any friends. And it's tough. It's tough to stick with Paul's sound doctrine and, you know, with long suffering and talk to people, not mark them and burn them, that kind of stuff, but to do it in its proper fashion. There are people that will not endure sound doctrine. And I've taught this. I'm just thinking my thoughts here, you know, that as we get older, we recognize these things. I think I taught this so much that they will not believe sound doctrine. It's kind of how I presented this. Grandma Kent, if you're there listening, you might understand what I'm saying. For a time will come when they will not believe sound doctrine. No, we're not talking about the people after the Pharisee, the Christian, the modern Christian with a perverted gospel of Christ. There are people that will not endure sound doctrine, and they're within our Paul family. What do? Then? Well, they go after their own lusts and heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now it's not the teachers with the itching ears. It's the people. You get tired of sound doctrine, and you, after your own lust to make you feel better, you go find somebody that's going to teach something that's going to make you happy with what you're hearing. Now, if you're looking for somebody who's preaching Paul, then yes, you're not part of this. You want somebody to preach sound doctrine. But if you're tired of the sound doctrine from Paul, what he preaches, and you go looking for somebody else that's going to preach what you think and it makes you happy, then this is what we're talking about. The time will come and this will take place. It just amazes me. I guess I look at we got Floyd's and Brian, you know, and the Peter and Mark. You know, when you get into this after a couple of years and you recognize sometimes that you didn't just get the tightness of that verse, for the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. And I just recognize the fact that that's talking about us. The world out there is not doing sound doctrine. They're not interested in sound doctrine. Kids in our schools are not being taught anything anywhere close to sound doctrine. So they don't even have to endure it. They're not even around it. We are the ones that have the sound doctrine, and if we try to do that after a while, I'm probably just belaboring this point, we don't endure it. We can't take it any longer. And then you go after your own lust, what you want to hear, your own flesh, your own lusts, and that's what you go looking for. Oh, how about that? Isn't that amazing how you see verses later on? And what did you do in the first part when you preached that stuff? Look at Titus chapter, almost done here. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Well, they don't want to have anything to do with it. So then I would footnote Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Because when we're not able to convince gainsayers, and they're not interested, and nobody's interested in the goodness of God, then the Gentile, as a nation, under God's guidance, is done. Have you not, by sound doctrine, tried to exhort and convince a gainsayer, and how far did you get? You know, there's all sorts of reasons that could be. You didn't do it right. You didn't know right scriptures. You did it with anger. You did it. There's all sorts of things that it could be our fault that they didn't get it. But we also have to remember that they don't want to get it. Have you ever showed somebody and they did get it? Is it because of you? No, it's because they wanted to find the truth. They knew something was wrong in their church. They knew something was wrong with their music. They knew something was wrong with the Bible. And you happen to come along and God said, here, show them this Bible. Show them what it says about music. And these people are waiting to be heard. So you use sound doctrine. But these gainsayers, these are the tough ones. You've got doctrine to show them. You show them by sound doctrine, not what you believe. I hate the phrase, I feel. Well, I feel like I should tell somebody. No, it's not feeling. You don't go by feelings. Sound doctrine of Paul is what's supposed to be taught. And you can talk to people about that. Sound doctrine. Gainsayers, that's what they need to hear. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, colon. Then you list them. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. It says here, to servants again, to be obedient to their own masters. He says, not purloining, stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The doctrine of God our Savior. God our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ, God our Savior. So what Jesus Christ taught to us, that's the doctrine of God to us as Gentiles. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. In all things. So there's doctrine. Doctrine is very important. Without doctrine, we'd have a mush. Doctrine is what sets you apart, sets truth apart from a fable, from a lie. And the doctrine that we're supposed to be learning and preaching is Paul's, and none of us have attained it yet. None of us have it all down yet. We might do the right things, but we might not be being the right kind of Christian as well. But if we follow Jesus' doctrine to the Jews or the apostles' doctrine, we're not doing the right thing when we're supposed to be following Paul's doctrine as the apostle. Not 13 of them, one, and that's just Paul.